From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right to our callers. First up today, Javier in Fontana, California. Hi, Javier.
Good afternoon, Hank. God bless you, bro.
Thank you. You too.
Hermano, I have a question regarding your book, The Apocalypse Code. I've read it. It's excellent. Thank you so much for that resource. And I'm trying to find a resource that will help me find the separation between what is near future and what has occurred in Revelation and what is yet to occur in Revelation. That's my first question. Second is I belong to a Spanish-speaking Calvary Chapel in Southern California and attended a men's study. And during the open question, I asked if it was necessary to believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church in order to be part of Calvary Chapel. And one of the leading Spanish pastors responded that, yes, how can two walk together don't agree? And so I kind of feel I've reached a glass ceiling within the Calvary Chapel where, teaching or any type of counseling is closed to anyone who believes in post the tribulation rapture of the church. So those are my two questions and your response to the second one regarding the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, whether it's a dogma of the Calvary Chapel.
Well, I mean, it is a position that they hold, but I have, in my own interactions with the Calvary Chapel movement over the years, understood the pastors to major on the majors, which is to say, in essentials, unity, non-essentials, liberty, and all things, charity. And therefore, I don't think that secondary issues, by and large, ought to create separation or disqualify you from ministry, but that's not a call I can make. I'm just saying that's my understanding and my reflection on the time that I've spent interacting with pastors that are in the Calvary Chapel movement. And of course, I very much appreciate the way that God has used that movement over time from the very early days until the present. As far as knowing what is yet future, the book of Revelation is very much like the other books of the Bible in this sense. All of the books of the Bible talk about what is happening in a particular epoch of time. So if you read the book of Romans, it is written to Roman Christians in the first century epicenter of a Caesar cult. The same thing is true with respect to the book of Revelation. It's dealing with things that these churches are going to be impacted by either in the present or the very near future. And thus, in the prologue to the book, we are told that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. And then we are told a few verses later that we are to hear, take heart, what is written in the book of Revelation, because the time is near. So John is writing to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, saying that what is going to happen is near, and that will soon take place. Well, near means near, soon means soon, unless you're like Bill Clinton. It all depends on what the meaning of the word is. You know, if you want to equivocate on words, I don't think we want to do that. But just like in the book of Romans or Corinthians or Revelation, there's also indications of what is going to happen in the eternal state. And so what is yet future? Well, Jesus is going to appear a second time. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. That's the hope of the believer. The problem of sin and Satan is going to be fully and finally resolved. The Bible likewise makes that point clear in its entirety. The dead will be raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We will forever inherit a restored universe, Romans chapter 8. The universe now groans and travails, but it's going to be liberated from its bondage today. All of these things are what we yet look forward to as believers, and Revelation makes that abundantly clear. So John in Revelation chapter 21 looks forward to a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And he sees that new heaven and new earth coming down out of heaven prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. And he sees a time where God will forever live with men. They will be his people and he will be their God. So this is what is in the future yet for believers. And we don't know how long that will be. It may be thousands of years. It may be hundreds of years. Maybe 10 minutes from now. And that's why I've always told people that you have to prepare as though Christ's coming is a long way off, but be prepared as though he can come in the next millisecond.
Amen. So then, are there portions of Revelation that do point to the future of things that are I understand that, yeah, God is going to dwell among us. Amen. That's going to be great. And we're all going to be at the eternal state with him forever. Now, regarding some of the passages of Revelation, do some apply to the future? You can read and say, well, this is yet to come, this will happen.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the final future is discussed in breathtaking detail in the book of Revelation.
Yeah, because a lot of questions I get from some of my brothers in the church are, okay, what about, you know, God is going to point us to wrath, and those who are dressed in white. And my understanding is that those who are dressed in white are those who suffered during the tribulation period and were martyred.
Well,
that's the teaching I've gotten.
Yeah, but again, this is dealing, look, here you have seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. They're going to face the full fury of a beast as well as a woman that rides the beast. And so John is telling them, be faithful, be fruitful. You're going to suffer for a short time. Your vindication is going to be an eternal vindication. And he sees a multitude, and he hears the roar of rushing waters, and he hears, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, were given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. There's nothing in that that is telling us that there's going to be a seven-year tribulation, and that in the middle of the seven-year tribulation, this is going to happen. At the end, you're going to have this happening, including the second coming of Jesus Christ. Nothing like that whatsoever. That's something you have to impose on the text. The plain reading of Scripture tells us this: do not be amazed. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. So rather than having separate resurrections and some people being raised at one time and others being raised at another time, I think we should heed the clear, plain words of Jesus Christ and follow the analogy of faith, which is that the cloudy should always be interpreted in light of the clear. I have people, quite frankly, and I know this is hard to believe, particularly when it comes to pastors, commenting on the book of Revelation that haven't even taken the time to memorize the book of Revelation, even though it's only 404 verses. And many pastors, furthermore, have little clue that 278 of those verses have direct references to Old Testament passages. And so when you see them interpret those passages, you find them interpreting those passages with a newspaper in their hands, as opposed to recognizing that Revelation is not only an apocalypse in the sense of an unfolding, but it's an apocalypse in the sense of a linguistic matrix that has its roots in the Old Testament Scripture. So the key to understanding the 404 verses and the 278 in particular is knowing the Old Testament. That's the codebreaker.
Yes, I mean, your book is so informative. I'm a third time I'm reading it through again, and the legacy acronym is so helpful. And I just recommend that all your listeners who are listening to get the Apocalypse Code and read through it once or twice. It's very informative and makes things very clear. However, I'm trying to just get in, equip myself to answer these questions that I get. And it's you've been very helpful in that area, and I really appreciate the work you do. I know it takes a lot of work for you to equip yourself, to equip us. So thank you, my brother. I appreciate it, and move forward. We'll move forward here.
Thank you, Javier. I appreciate those kind words, and I hope that you continue to use your gifts for His glory and the extension of His kingdom, and hopefully you'll be able to do that within the context of the Calvary Chapel movement, which, again, God has used in a very powerful way. Certainly has impacted my life over the years, and I have to say that many of the Calvary Chapel pastors that I've grown to know and love personally are definitely being used in a powerful way all around the world, and so I certainly stand with them in essential Christian doctrine. But again, this underscores something that I'm really excited about, and that is learning to read the Bible for all it's worth, or mine the Bible for all its wealth. And as part of the flip chart, there's a section on that. And it not only deals with the book of Revelation, but the Bible in its entirety. And if you master this, and I've made it memorable, it can help you smell the fragrance of the Bible in a brand new way. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers.
Has Jesus Christ returned to earth as a woman? Eastern Lightning, also called the Church of Almighty God, claims a Chinese woman is the reincarnated Christ, Almighty God, and the fulfillment of Jesus's Olivet Discourse. This cult is doctrinally deviant and socially subversive. It masquerades as a persecuted Christian movement while exploiting Western sympathy to spread its destructive dogmas. Don't miss the special issue of the Christian Research Journal exposing the treacherous teachings and practices of Eastern Lightning. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Nick, listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Hank. I just wanted to thank you for your ministry. It's a real blessing to hear your answers to people's questions.
Thank you.
My question is, I've heard a lot of what you don't believe about the end times in talking to people who believe in pre-tribulation rapture and who want to argue with you about this and that. And I'm actually personally curious as to what you do believe about the last day. And by that, I mean, when Jesus does return, what exactly do you believe that will look like? And I'm just curious as to your personal view.
Sure. Well, when Jesus Christ returns, it will be a glorious day in which the souls of those who have died will return to bodies, and those bodies will rise immortal and perishable, incorruptible, and those who are still alive will be transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So the problem of sin and Satan and suffering will forever be done with. The universe itself that now groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay. So out of the womb of earth will be birthed a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. The veil between this world and the next will no longer be there, and Jesus will appear. And we will live with a resurrected Christ in a restored universe, and we will learn and grow without error as forever. We explore the glory and grace of the one who saved us, as well as the glory and grandeur of the creation which he gave to us. And we're stewards of that creation even now, and therefore what we do in terms of not only the Great Commission, but the cultural mandate matters in the present.
I gotcha. Do you believe in a rapture of any sort?
No, I do not. I mean, the sense of rapture is a sense in which we go out to meet the King of Glory and bring him back, as it were, to this earth. I mean, that's the picture we get. But that picture's a metaphorical picture that's given to us because the hope of the believer is that God will once again walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And therefore, in the book of Revelation, we have John saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this notion of a rapture, being caught up to meet the Lord, does not mean that the Lord suddenly reverses direction and takes us up for 7 years to heaven while the Jews are butchered on earth. No, it means that we are welcoming him. It's very much like this picture of people running out of the city to welcome a dignitary and bring that dignitary back into the city. What happened, for example, when Alexander the Great came and he was met by the priests and the assembly and brought back into the city? That's the kind of picture that Paul is giving us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but not the idea of rapture as God taking us or Jesus taking us from this earth to heaven for 7 years and then being brought back later on after the second coming of Jesus Christ or during the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. I've been curious for a long time what you believe on the subject because, like I said, I hear a lot of people call with questions that if they read the Bible carefully, they honestly shouldn't have. But I never got to actually listen to you explain what it is that you do believe. Do I have time for one quick question?
Sure.
It's unrelated, but I've actually called in with a question about a verse a friend of mine was using to support the Son and the Father being the same person. And I was curious to what you think about the organization that is called the Local Church of Witness Lee.
Well, what I would say is that many people have misunderstood the theological underpinnings of the local church and thought that they were a modalistic group. And we certainly were among those who contributed organizationally to a fountainhead of misinformation in this regard. And as a result of meeting with people within the local churches, we began to do a primary research project, which ended up being a very long, laborious project that took place over a long period of time. I believe it was 6 years, if I recall correctly. And in that process, we discovered that we were wrong about a lot of things. And certainly we were wrong about the notion that the local church participated in modalism. As they make clear in their writings and in their confessions, they believe in one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, but they make a distinction as well between the essential Trinity and the economic Trinity, which is to say, unless you read them carefully, which means that you have to have an attention span, you find out very quickly that they have a very clear distinction between an economic and an essential Trinity. If anybody wants to find out more about that and answer that question, we did a journal article. It's titled, "We Were Wrong." In fact, it's an entire issue of the journal. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Rick in Meridian, Connecticut. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Hank. How you doing? I just want to say that I really appreciate you, brother. I appreciate your ministry and your extensive knowledge of Scripture, and I pray for you from time to time. I should pray for you more often, and I was curious, are fallen angels and demons the same exact thing? And if not, what is the difference, and where do demons come from? What are they?
Yeah. No, they are the same thing. Demons are fallen angels. I mean, there are people that will tell you otherwise, but that, from a biblical worldview perspective, is precisely the case. God created angels. They're non-corporeal or non-physical, but they're nonetheless real. And we know from Scripture, both in terms of what we can deduce directly and through theological implication or deduction, that demons are fallen angels, and the relative number, though not given, is a third that went with Lucifer in a rebellion against God. And so they are angels, but angels that are fallen, given over to their own desires, which is they do not want to worship God, and so God gives them what they want.
Interesting. Well, thank you very much, brother, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you so much. I appreciate those wonderful words. Let's go right back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Sarah in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Sarah.
Hank, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I hope that you're well. I know we're getting towards the end of the broadcast. I just want to thank you. I have been familiar with your books and your teachings for many years. I was very privileged to be able to go to a Bible college and listen to you very regularly. And I pray for your ministry. When we can, we will support financially. But we're in Omaha here, and my question is regarding the book of Revelation and the sign of the beast, and I know that it says on their heads was the mark 666. I've tried to look up the reference here, but I haven't found it yet. And I know you've spoken about, I've heard you, I believe, what my question would be, is it a literal mark? Is it with the not being able to buy or sell without the mark? Without being too sensationalist, I know that there are RFIDs, radio frequency IDs, on credit cards that you can swipe. I even heard on the radio, I don't know how true it is, but that they're going to have things on the palm for children when they do their lunch line, lunch money creation, you know, little scanners. And so I'm just curious, this technology is in place for buying and selling, or at least for your credit card. Could that anyway be the mark of the beast?
Well, the answer is no, and let me tell you why. That's what I call newspaper eschatology, and there's no biblical basis for believing that the mark of the beast is a silicon microchip. And here's why. Biblically, the mark of the beast is a parody of the mark of the lamb, and that's because the beast can parody the lamb but can't do what the lamb does or did. So just as the mark on the foreheads of the 144,000 that you see in Revelation chapter 14 symbolizes identity with the Lamb. In the same way, the mark in Revelation 13 symbolizes identity with the beast. So when Jesus says, "On him who overcomes, I will write the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, and I will also write on him my new name," we don't think that Jesus is actually using a magic marker or some kind of a tattoo machine to write symbols on our forehead. So one is a parody of the other. But furthermore, I think what this answer is rooted in is Scripture. The forehead and the hands are Old Testament symbols of a person's beliefs and behavior. You see that in passages like Exodus 13 and Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Ezekiel chapter 9. In other words, what you believe and how you behave mark you as either belonging to God or belonging to Satan. So there's no tattoo that's necessary. Your words, your belief system give you away in terms of who you belong to. Written about this in various places, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition and the Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Please do remember that we need your support. If you can support this ministry prayerfully and financially, it would be deeply appreciated and is much needed. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow with more of the show.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.